You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back, joined by one of the brightest young minds in the country's national security firmament, as far as I'm concerned. He is Benjamin Weingarten, the founder and CEO of Change Up Media, LLC, a 2015 Publius Fellow of the Claremont Institute, and a very active contributor to the public policy debate at outlets like Breitbart, the Federalist National Review, Newsmax, and PJ Media. He's always a welcome guest here, and I'm delighted to have him back. Ben, thanks so much for joining us.
Frank, thanks so much for that delightful introduction. I really appreciate it.
Well, all true. Let me ask you about Afghanistan. I just had a rather bracing conversation with Diana West, our mutual friend, who's very critical of what the president has done here. What are your thoughts, Ben, on his new strategy, as he calls it, not just for Afghanistan, but for the region more generally?
Well, I think it's important that the president provided the needed context of the fact that Afghanistan does not exist in isolation. It's a battleground which serves as a proxy for a variety of forces. And so we, of course, have a vested interest in Afghanistan not becoming a breeding ground for the worst of the worst actors in the Middle East. I think we still need to hear a little bit more as to how we define winning. It's obviously very positive that the president and those in his administration more broadly have supported a loosening of the frankly suicidal rules of engagement, which basically give the enemy an advantage on the battlefield. I will say a big positive that was brought to the fore by the president was the idea of leveraging India against Pakistan. It's very clear that Pakistan plays both sides, as do many actors in the Middle East. And I think it's also very clear that India should be a bulwark, should be an ally.
You know, I'll be talking shortly with Michael Dougherty about this Pakistani national-run IT operation in the U.S. House of Representatives. These guys were not just stealing computer equipment, but perhaps making available to others, possibly including the Pakistani intelligence service, the ISI. This is just another example of what is at best a double game played by our so-called Pakistani allies. And I'm with you in terms of adding to the pressure there. I'm also with you, I have to say, about being unclear about exactly what President Trump means when he says we will win. Do you have any concern, given what we've seen to date, that then we're going to be watching more of the same in terms of the U.S. military footprint, more treasure squandered, particularly in a corrupt society, more loss of American personnel's lives?
All that said, I think the president, in his heart of hearts, and as he indicated in his speech, still is inclined to say what is the ultimate objective here. And I think the best argument that can be made is that if and where there are jihadists, we will hunt them down no matter where they are, and Afghanistan happens to be a particularly large breeding ground for them.
I guess my view of this, for what it's worth, is that winning is persuading the jihadists in Afghanistan, of which there are many, not just the ones we're fighting, but many others, needless to say, that they are not going to prevail. And that's a very subjective judgment, but I think there are things that we can do that impress that upon them. You've written a very interesting piece at PJ Media about the tech blacklisting of counter-jihadists, which is, of course, the goal of the Muslim Brotherhood, silencing those of us who are pushing back against their Sharia supremacism in this country. And you use a turn of phrase which is near and dear to my heart. It comes out of their explanatory memorandum. And that is sabotaging our miserable house by our own hands as a way of destroying Western civilization from within. Talk a little bit about what you see going on in this regard.
Yeah, so what really spurred this story, and of course we should note that the left has been trying to stifle particular speech which exposes Sharia supremacism, the ideology of Islamic supremacists more broadly, because that's one of the sacred cows for the left. But in any event, the specific instance that spurred this piece was an article and questions submitted by ProPublica, which casts itself as an investigative journalist institution, but which is backed in large part by clearly leftist progressive donors. And ProPublica reached out to several groups that were listed by either the ADL or the Southern Poverty Law Center. We don't know who's on the ADL's list, but the Southern Poverty Law Center's is right out there for all to see. Groups classified as haters, essentially, and extremists, quote unquote, and went out to them with a series of questions to basically chill those groups. What the questions asked were basically, justify why you are not a hate group, and then tell us how you fund yourself and what mechanisms you use to fund yourself. And it's very clear that those questions were meant to chill and to scare the groups on the list, and also to give them a heads up that a hit piece was essentially coming.
And more broadly, a campaign to try to take that funding and also information technology support away from them, right?
Exactly. And of course, we should note that the left tries to shut down competing opinion in a number of ways. First, you have Lawfare, where you have actual laws that they try to get on the books, and they'll be under the guise of anti-hate speech or anti-blasphemy. Then you have litigation against those they don't like. Then you have toxifying groups by trying to smear them. As we've seen, for example, is Sebastian Gorka in the Trump administration, all of the horrific articles that have been leveled at him to attempt to make him toxic and thus force him out of the White House. And we see this writ large among those who don't toe to the left's line when it comes to Islamic supremacism. And then lastly, of course, they have striking at your ability to operate by threatening your wallets. And that was what this ProPublica campaign came down to, was seeking to get web services like PayPal, for example, as well as other services, to restrict the use of organizations like yours, like Robert Spencer's, like many others, clearly not hate or extremist organizations, clearly organizations that are dedicated to defending and protecting America against jihadists, and to try to get those services to restrict usage. And in other words, stop you from operating freely and openly and independently. And the backlash, in particular when it came to PayPal and Robert Spencer's site, and PayPal restricted Robert Spencer's site and said, you're no longer allowed to use our service, the backlash was so strong in social media and elsewhere that PayPal relented, and Robert Spencer declared victory in this particular battle. But I think this is just one battle in what is going to be an ongoing war to seek to stifle competing opinion when it comes to views on jihad, Islamic supremacism. The left is wittingly or unwittingly, and I will go with unwittingly until we learn more, basically executing upon what the jihadists themselves have always wanted, which is to stifle all competing opinion when it comes to understanding their ideology. So when sites that disseminate quality information are threatened by the left and by tech companies in league with the left, for whatever reason they're in league with the left, the end result is basically serving the jihadists and, in effect, sabotage by our own hands, as the Muslim Brotherhood called for in their infamous explanatory memorandum.
Ben Weingart, much food for thought there. As always, I'm appreciative of it. I think I agree with everything, except perhaps that you're being a little too charitable to suggest that the left is not wittingly helping these Islamists when it's pretty clear there's a lot of collusion in what we've come to call the red-green axis between them. Despite their differences, particularly with respect to the end state, they seek a common immediate purpose, which is the destruction of this country. Ben, we have to leave it at that for the moment. We are over time, but I appreciate, as always, the work that you have been doing, both in the public sector and, of course, at ChangeUp Media LLC. I hope you'll come back to us again in the very near future. Next up, we will talk with Christine Douglas Williams about what is happening in practice in the various respects that we've just been discussing in Canada, our neighbor to the north, right after this.